with your, if you loved going to Friendly's and you were going to meet up at Friendly's because it's your Switzerland.
Yeah, Switzerland. Yeah.
It's.
I can't.
I can't believe
the Swiss are going to let that. Can't use the word circus. There's got to use a word that ends in show.
I know exactly what I was going to say. It ends in show.
I can't imagine.
And begins with one of my favorite words.
The Swiss are going to let that show into town. They're going to be like, no, we will break our centuries of non-involvement and go to war with you to stop this from happening. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this thing winds up happening somewhere in Japan. Although, you know what the problem with that is? The Koreans will not set foot in Japan because they hate the Japanese that much.
Well, and that and the fact that I think that part of the reason they have an impetus to have it be in Europe is that none of us have friends too close.
Yeah.
Like, in Japan, you know, Korea's right there. And not right there, but in terms of, you know, logistically, comparatively, our closest us is Hawaii or Russia, if you believe my side of the news. But if we did it somewhere in Europe, especially, I mean, honestly, I think they should just do it in Florence and do it over pizza, because then they'll just be super chill.
I'm gonna change my Japan prediction. You know where it's gonna you know what's gonna happen? Australia. They will all wind up.
No, that actually would make more sense.
Because
Australia is technically equidistant between like our territory and their territory. Australia doesn't care about any of us other than the fact that we give them stuff. That's not bad.
And they love They love a good poo show in Australia.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. You're right. I think Sydney, 2019.
They love a good poo show in Australia. Get ready because the Koreans are coming, Australia. Tammy Jo Schultz.
Notes. Nope, nothing.
She was the pilot of the Southwest Airlines plane.
Yes.
That had an engine explode.
If you had said Southwest Airlines, I would have gotten it.
That could have been one of the clues, but she's a big part of the story here. Tammy Jo Schultz was the pilot who brought the plane in and immediately dropped it down to a lower level once that window blew out, which equalizes the pressure and allows the people on board the plane to breathe, which is a plus. But there is a lot more to the Tammy Jo Schultz story than just flying for Southwest Airlines. She was one of the first women admitted to the Naval Academy.
To be a fighter pilot.
To be a fighter pilot. Mm-hmm. And one of the first women to fly fighter jets in the Navy. She never flew in combat, but she flew in all kinds of training missions. And she has been a pioneer her entire life. A very, very impressive resume for Tammy Jo Schultz.
Super cool.
And unfortunately, the woman who was halfway sucked out of the jet was killed. Unfortunately, she was a Wells Fargo executive. First person to die in an airline accident in the United States since 2009.
Wow. And that's
on board an American airliner. That's
The air traffic controller asked whether the plane is on fire, and she calmly replied, "No, it's not on fire, but part of it's missing."
Yeah.
There's a hole and someone went out. Oh my goodness. Well, good for her. I mean, it's obviously very tragic that a person died, but it could have been 15, 20, 30, 100 people. There were 149 people on board. And
148 of them went home that night.
Yeah, that's good for her. Oh my goodness. It's really inspiring. And that's the thing is that, and I always try to emphasize this, not just because she's a woman, as a human being, that's inspiring.
Yep.
I don't care if it's a man, a woman, what race they are, what blah, 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 fill in the blank they are. That is badass. Like, that is unbelievable. And there's so much to be said for grace under pressure, because there are lots of people who are really skilled and who can do something when they're supposed to do it, when they know they're clocking in or punching in and what have you. But to be able to just kind of rise to the occasion like that and when you're not even expecting it is it's pretty remarkable.
Yep.
Jacinda Ardern, sorry.
Say that again.
Jacinda Ardern. New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens in New Zealand. They have sheep in Lord of the Rings movies. Sheep and what a workshop. That's
God, it. I gotta go to New Zealand. Actually, something is happening in New Zealand, which is why I'm bringing up.
Farm and they make CGI. That's it.
It's also beautiful there, supposedly. That's on my bucket list, buddy.
Yeah, if the sheep don't come after you, I have no idea what you're talking about.
In June, Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister of New Zealand, and the world's youngest female leader, will also become the second woman in history to give birth while an elected head of state. She will also become the first elected leader to ever take maternity leave, setting a precedent for other female leaders.
You don't get maternity leave when you're running a country. Well, it's New Zealand.
Yeah, you haven't gotten maternity leave when you're running a country because she's the first one to do it.
Yeah, well, because in most countries, could you picture if we have a woman running the United States and she's going to take 3 months of maternity leave?
Remember that presidents are pretty much mindless factotums who have run things for them, right?
Not at all.
Can I bring up George W. Bush real quick? You think that he wrote any of the words that he told us or actually came up with any of the policies that he put through?
He was the decider.
Over the course of his presidency.
He was the decider. He made that abundantly clear.
Let me read my comic books.
I am the decider. He said it. No,
He mispronounced words in his speeches.
He had a fondness for nuclear.
And just because you're on maternity leave doesn't mean it's the 21st century. Doesn't mean that you can't still be sending emails telling people what to do. Can't videogram while she's breastfeeding her baby. I'm sorry, as it was coming out of my mouth, I began to laugh.
I'm making the comparison of being the United States, where you're on the brink of war with Syria, Iran, and Russia. You can't have the president step aside
for a few months. Technically, the entire world. She's not stepping aside. She is setting a precedent for if we could get the technology for men to hold the babies, we'd do it. She's setting the precedent for the universe, accepting the fact that women are the only ones that can bring the children into the world. We are 9 steps from keeping you all underground and using you as a giant sperm bank.
This is
okay?
WMFO Medford, I have to say this. She has the luxury of running a country where the biggest challenge is stopping Peter Jackson from getting more tax breaks.
Dude,
okay?
New Zealand is not that small a country. We're not talking about Tunisia.
They're not a global power. They're not at war with anybody.
Power, but give me a drop of a hat. You can be at war with anybody. Drop of a hat. You can have some sort of crisis, either global or national, happen.
I don't think the Australians are coming over to make war. I really don't. And they're the only ones.
Because you're the expert on Australian and New Zealand relations, right?
They don't like each other at all.
That's what I'm saying.
Because of a cricket match in the 70s.
You're saying that based on this is an important moment because women are always put aside as, you can't be in a position of power because you have kids. She's taking maternity leave, the shortest maternity leave in history, by the way, of any job ever other than hourly ones where women will work until they burst. But this is an important moment to say, it's not our fault that we're the ones that have to carry the babies.
Here's what I'm saying.
And by the way, I'm never carrying a baby. Sorry, Mom. You're probably listening. Never carrying a baby. We've had this argument like 19 times.
You'll change your mind about that. But here's,
that's what they've been saying to me for a decade.
Here's what I'm saying. If Theresa May tried to do this, if Theresa May was about to have a child and tried to do this, they would be holding a vote of no confidence in the House of Commons. There are places where there are places where you can get away with
that. Point.
And places where you can't.
That's the point. There are places, there shouldn't be places you can get away with this and places you can't.
But New Zealand is an inconsequential country.
Oh, God. I hope that our listeners in New Zealand aren't offended by what my co-host just said.
Nothing but kindness for New Zealand and the people of New Zealand and everything that New Zealand produces. But New Zealand is not in the middle of a geopolitical crisis right now the way that half of the rest of the world is, okay? If you were the prime minister of Iceland, you could get away with this. I would maintain that if you were the Canadian prime minister, you could probably get away with this.
By the argument that you're making, no woman should be allowed to be a world power, should be allowed to be the leader of a country if she plans on getting pregnant. That is the argument that you are essentially making right now.
That is the argument that I'm making.
That is bonkers.
Why?
Because
I want the president.
How many first ladies have been pregnant while their husbands were in office?
So it's wrong for me to want the president to be in office at a time of global crisis.
It's 2018. It's not like she can't hop in when something happens, when a 9/11 of 2018 happens. We live in a digital world now. She can go to cabinet meetings or whatever kind of cabinet meetings they have in New Zealand via Skype, via email, via whatever. It's absurd to try to argue that a woman does not have the right, a powerful, strong woman does not have the right maternity leave. My sister is a partner in the second biggest corporate law firm in the country, and she took maternity leave while spending all of her days emailing back and forth helping on cases. You're saying that you can't translate that to a world leader?
No. No.
You can.
No, because you have to be able to react and make decisions in the moment in a clear and rational state of mind. As best you possibly can.
Oh, this is the most misogynistic conversation I've ever had with you.
It's not.
If anything, trying to say that a woman who is currently pumped full of hormones that makes her boobs produce milk isn't capable of making those decisions is the exact same.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying you don't get any sleep for the first 3 months after you have a kid.
Well, you know how you do get sleep is if your husband helps.
Husbands, unfortunately, have not been blessed with the biological ability to breastfeed.
Oh, there's this amazing other technology other than like five I've already brought up. It's called breast pumps, and oh, they're magical. They put the breast milk into a bottle, and men are super capable of picking them up and putting them into a child's mouth. This is literally the argument you're trying to make is the argument that has been made for years about why a woman can't be president. And my point is that with the technology that
have... I have never said a woman can't be president.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that you have. I'm saying the argument you're making right now is the exact same as many have made over the course of the past, I don't know, 30, 50, 100 years, as to why a woman cannot be president. It's not our fault that we got the equipment to create another human being. I personally don't want to create another human being, but somebody who does shouldn't be prevented from being in a position of power if they are both smart enough and qualified enough and A, B, C, D, E, F, G enough to do so, just because they're the incubator the thing has to grow in.
Okay, we got a caller. Caller, you were on the air. What's your thoughts on this?
You want to put me on the air?
You're on the air right now, buddy. If you disagree with me, I'm going to throw something at Derek. Just be warned.
Well, Shay, I understand what you're saying about emails and all that, but the language could be fragmented if you're going to try and be diplomatic over a digital medium.
No, but that's just only morons fragment. Look at my Twitter and my Facebook. My punctuation is spotless. That's what I'm saying is that some women...
We're talking about world leaders here.
Yeah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not a world leader, and I am...
Let the caller speak. Shay's a little fired up tonight, so...
Yes.
Please.
I'm sorry, caller. What's your name?
Arthur.
Arthur. That's a good name.
Arthur, please go ahead.
Well, I understand your argument, Shay, about breast pumps and all that. but if you want to, you can't be breast pumping and breastfeeding and try and run a country. It's just there's too much going on, especially after a pregnancy. there's a lot of hormones that need to be expelled after the child is born.
Let me raise another practical question here. What if she dies in childbirth?
Then exactly what happens if a male president gets shot or has a heart attack happens.
I'm just
the exact same thing. And by the way, Arthur, I do appreciate, thank you for seeing where I'm coming from, but have you ever breast pumped while running your country?
No.
Not lately, right?
I've been on the other end of being a dad. So I'm not just you know, I have a little experience.
No, I'm just messing with you. My point is though that it's really, I understand that it would be most mothers, they need to have being a mother be their full time job. Absolutely. Or I shouldn't say most. A lot of mothers need to have being an early mother be their full time job. And that is understandable and fine.
I don't care really much about the mother. I care more about the child. And the child needs its mother in the first, 8 months.
Well, absolutely.
More so than the dad.
Yeah, we're kind of disposable during that period of time.
But, well, it's a matter of, I mean, you have to think about, I'm not talking about every person. I'm talking about
world leaders.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I'm saying. People who run countries are not normal people. They are people who are capable of more than your average person. And it's unfair to just, I'm not saying that she's not going to fail.
In some regards, they are, but in a lot of regards.
Well, I mean, don't get me started on our president.
Arthur, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on this, by the way. I'm letting you take this because she won't listen to me. You know, this is what I run up against. But we got to move along. I thank you for your call and for being a part of the show tonight. Keep listening.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. 855-915-9636. If you want to try and make a point against Chase Boleyn, good luck. Milos Forman is your next clue.
Milos Forman. Is Greek, I imagine.
No.
Milos is such a totally Greek name.
He was a Czech.
Was?
Yes.
So he's dead, is what you're saying.
Yes, he is. I've given away part of the story.
Well, in that case, I have no idea, but please enlighten me.
Died on April 14th at the age of 86. He was the director of Ragtime and The People vs. Larry Flint, as well as 18 other feature films, but is probably best known for winning Best Director for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in 1975,
yes!
And for Amadeus in 1984.
Oh, I love One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Fantastic movie.
Oh my God, that makes me really sad.
If you have time this weekend, go watch that. It's one of the greatest movies ever made.
I love how quickly people update Wikipedia as well, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
The minute someone dies, it's like, died.
There's like 20 people there who are like, oh, I'm getting credit for this.
Milos Forman was a Czech-American film director.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. What do I want to get you with? Memphis.
Tennessee?
Mm-hmm. Did you know another Memphis?
Oh, my God. Was that where the... No, that wasn't where that happened.
Money. I'll give you another one. Money.
God, I know what this is, but I don't. Please...
enlighten you.
Yeah.
Well, the Republican-dominated House in Tennessee voted yesterday to punish the city of Memphis for removing Confederate monuments by taking $250,000 away from the city that would have been used for its bicentennial celebration next year. The retaliation came in the form of passage of a last-minute amendment that was attached to the House Appropriations Bill that triggered heated debate on the House floor and stinging rebukes from lawmakers from Memphis. Okay. And to be honest with you, I've been to Memphis, and I love it there other than the Confederate leanings, which is why the story was so important to me. I just couldn't believe that they were giving them so much strife for getting rid of Confederate monuments. And $250,000, like, that's especially their bicentennial, so they, you know, next year they were officially made a city in 1819, and now they're going to be you know, celebrating 200 years of being a city, and they had money in kind of a lockbox that the city's now like, no, screw it.
We have another caller, and I don't think this is going to be about the monuments in Tennessee. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Derek. My name's Chris. I'm calling from...
Great. What's your comment tonight, Chris?
Well, I have to weigh in about the, you know, women being positions of leadership and then all of that.
You've opened a hornet's nest, Chase Blaine. You've opened the hornet's nest.
Yeah, well, I have very business. I think we live in a culture that's really screwed up with all the religious fanatics and the discrimination and the puritanism. Not only should women be able to do any job they want, but a woman should be able to be president and do any part of the job while holding the baby, as long as it's not screaming and crying, which babies don't do all the time. They need to do it when they're not being held, because they need to be held. They need the love. And a woman should be able to breastfeed the baby, even while having a press conference, because it shouldn't be looked at as something wrong or you know, indecent or anything like that. It's a normal, wonderful part of life. And it's because we live in a culture that tries to make normal parts of life wrong, which it's not.
Amen, boo boo.
Stop you from doing your job.
Okay.
You know?
I don't have a problem with any of what you just said. Here's where my concern comes in, okay?
Here we go.
The situation that we're in right now, we've got problems with Russia, we got problems with Syria, we got problems with Iran, North Korea, South Korea. It's a dangerous moment in world history. And
yes, that's true now, and it's been true.
I was going to say, when has that not been true?
Stop, stop. So you've had your opportunities tonight, Ms. Spillane. Would you be comfortable with a president who is about to give birth in the middle of this situation, or in the middle of a situation that was escalating to the point of war? Because knowing what I know...
I would, and it's an excellent point, Derek, and I love it when you come up with logical points. That's what I like to hear. I like to have a good debate. And the fact is that doesn't just happen with childbirth, which is a great example. But the fact of the matter is it can happen with other kinds of medical things that can happen.
Precisely.
This is why we have a vice president.
Yeah.
That's the point I was trying to make about a heart attack or anything else.
Childbirth doesn't necessarily take that much time. There are times where it's complicated and where someone might even have to have a cesarean or something, but many times it's routine and goes much better than you would think.
Oh, I wish you were here so I could high-five you.
Yeah, this may be me.
I'm happy you're there, Shay, because your opinions are great and you also have a beautiful voice. When Lisa used to be there, I used to think Derek was the liberal and Lisa was the conservative, because Derek had so many well-thought-out liberal-sounding opinions. And this is one of the rare times when he doesn't, you know, and because he really does put a lot of thought into stuff he says. He doesn't sound like a right-wing idiot, because he's not.
I would say he's not a
right-wing
liberal. Well, thank you.
Here's the thing.
I like to think of myself as a left...
before this that pissed me off was his fascination with Trump. Other than that, he had a lot of
I like to think of myself as a left-leaning moderate, but I appreciate it just the same.
Just to give you a sense.
I don't fit in with all the classic liberal positions, I'm like half and half.
I'm an independent, and it really bothers both my parents, so that's
But
fine.
Just to give you a sense of where I'm coming from in all of this is, you know, I put thought into who I vote for. And one of the things that I look at when I'm, and by the way, I did not vote for the current occupant of the White House, so... No.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, no. I voted for Obama back in 2008.
That's really cool. Yeah. Definitely, you're not right-wing at all.
I put a lot of thought into it because...
He's a right-leaning moderate.
I look at it in terms of what... I could care less about domestic policy, generally speaking. I want somebody who is going to be able to represent us well on the world stage. And when I make that choice for president, I want to know that that person is going to be there, barring assassination. And you bring up a good point. There are a lot of different things that could happen. But here's where maybe my bias and my limitations are going to come into play. If a pregnant woman was running for office, I probably would not vote for her. Even if I thought she was the most qualified, I probably would not, because I want to know who is going to be answering the phone at the moment when that crisis occurs.
But that's not the question at hand. The question is not whether or not you would vote. The question is whether it could be an effective leader. Taft died in a bathtub that he couldn't get out of.
Yeah, well, you know, Taft ate a little too much fried food.
Yeah.
Is his problem.
And again, that's the whole point.
What about having a man who's so, has such bad attitudes and so can't control himself and has such a bad attitude toward women, has done so much molesting and attacking, and that he's so preoccupied with trying to cover over his affairs and stuff that his life is more dominated by scandals and cover-ups, even if he could think rationally, which he can't. You know, how is that not an example? How many bad male leaders have we had who had all these problems, like Clinton and like numerous other ones?
I will.
Where, you know, they're spending all their time trying to get out of their scandal.
I will reiterate song, that I did not vote for Trump.
There It Is playing in my head right now.
Yeah.
Well, there it is.
Yeah, I did. No, I agree with you. And that's why, you know, I've always tried to find the candidates who are above that sort of thing, the people who can focus on the job. We did not get that choice in the most recent election, which was disappointing. If anybody's wondering,
the party system is broken. The primaries are broken.
I voted for the CIA guy running out of Utah because I was hoping that he might find a backdoor in if there was a constitutional crisis.
I wore a Bernie shirt even after Bernie lost the primary.
Yeah, I voted for Bernie both times, primary and in the general election, and I would have done the same thing if I wasn't in Massachusetts. If I was in a borderline state, I still would have voted for Bernie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Even if it meant Trump was going to win, because I hate Hillary Clinton, because she was married to Bill Clinton, one of the worst presidents we ever had. I don't think Barbara Bush is any good either, because Bush Sr. was an even worse president than Clinton. They were both terrible people.
At least Clinton has some soi-vive and can play the saxophone.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry, what?
I said at least Clinton has some soi-vive and can play the saxophone. You know, he could go on MTV and entertain us.
The reason I hated Bill Clinton so much was because him and Hillary was not one of these, you know, first ladies who decorated the White House. She was heavily involved in everything. She was smart and ambitious and all of that kind of stuff. The Clintons sat idly by while 820,000 people were slaughtered in Rwanda with sticks, rocks, and machetes. One armored division could have stopped it. People were frantically begging for help for weeks before this happened. The whole thing was incited by racial hatred and by right-wing talk show hosts, and nobody did anything to stop it. It could have been stopped, and they didn't do anything.
And there was
Clinton had the audacity to go to Africa and apologize like that's going to do any good.
There was a somewhat similar situation in the former Yugoslavia under their watch. You know, Rwanda wasn't the only.
That's the second thing. Bosnia, yes.
Well, and that's the point
during the campaign, said she was dodging bullets at the airport. She was never at the airport.
Yeah.
Bill O'Reilly was never in the Falklands.
Well, and that's the point I was trying to make, is just that, of course, a woman, which is going back to what we started talking about, a woman in the White House or in any major political power in any country, if she's pregnant, it's going to be a problem. But there's been, like, you have to think of FDR. FDR had polio through most of his presidency, which, by the way, he served for four terms. The reason we have the two-term limit is because of FDR. And he spent most of that time... there'd be a curtain in front of him and they would strap him to the podium so people wouldn't know that he was in a wheelchair.
Pregnancy's not someone from doing the job.
Well, that's the thing, pregnancy is as much as any other illness.
But pregnancy is not a disabling condition.
All right.
You know?
Well, thank you.
In the later stages, I could see why, you know, you might not be able to be an athlete or something, but why can't you make leadership decisions and have meetings and do all of that stuff? It doesn't interfere with intellectual work.
Well, thank you. I always love when someone calls in and agrees with me. So thank you, Cambridge homie.
Oh, God, just what I need. People defending Shay. Hey, we got to move on, but thank you so much for your call. Keep listening.
Oh, yeah, thank you. You guys do a great job. And
thank you. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
I love to weigh in.
Have a great night. Okay. Your turn, my turn.
It's your turn.
Bertucci's.
Unlimited roles?
Nope. Not for much longer. They're going to close third of their remaining restaurants as part of their Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing.
Why do all of the things from my childhood keep doing that?
Sales of Bertucci's fell below 2011 levels last year, and they are trying to find a buyer to get out from under $119 million of debt.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a lot of debt for the Bertucci's people.
I mean, to be fair, the most that I have been to a Bertucci's restaurant has been when I was in high school and just came in, bought a soda, and had them give me free rolls. So that could explain the whole bankruptcy thing. But still, in terms of a chain restaurant, their food is not bad.
They took the baked chicken off the menu, and I'm heartbroken. It was like one of
that must have been what did
it. It was one of the last places where you could actually get baked chicken, because now that every supermarket sells rotisserie chicken.
Oh, that's fair.
Nobody has baked chicken on the menu anymore.
Yeah, because they're you can just make it at your house yourself.
Yeah, and there are times when you just want to go in a restaurant, like, give me a half a chicken. It's awesome.
Oh, there are still restaurants that do that, too. Nicholas Cruz. Or Anthony Borges.
Well, I have no idea what those are.
You don't know what Nicholas Cruz is?
No, what's a...
A Parkland High School student who was shot 5 times while protecting his classmates has filed a lawsuit.
Oh, he's not the one that went on the prom date.
No.
I read about the one that went on the prom date.
No, this is the family. They're filing a lawsuit against Nicholas Cruz, who's the gunman. The family that took him in, the estate of his mother, and a lot of mental health facilities. Anthony Borges, who's 15, is credited with saving as many as 20 of his classmates at Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School on the February 14th attack when Cruz opened fire on campus, killing 17 people. During the shooting, Borges barricaded a classroom door and used his body as a shield as the bullets flew, protecting a class full of students from harm. His parents filed the suit in Broward County Court yesterday on their son's behalf, seeking a jury trial for damages in excess of $15,000, exclusive of interest, costs, and attorney's fees, among other damages. Which, having worked for personal injury lawyers, they're going to get around $100,000 off of this. Because usually it's whatever the initial claim is times 7.
Yep. Yep.
Or around times 7, because that's, and to be honest, sometimes it's completely unfounded, but in cases like this, it's completely deserved that damages equals 7 times their medical bills.
Right. But it's not like you're going to recover from Cruz because he has nothing, which is why they're suing the mental health agencies. Because
who should have stopped this from happening in the first place.
You may recover from the state. Now, I've heard a lot of Parkland news in the last couple of days. David Hogg's 15 minutes are over, by the way. I don't know if you saw his little tweet storm yesterday.
I purposely didn't include him. He's getting...
Yeah. No, he's done.
There are some people who capitalize on tragedy, which I hate. It's just like I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Like, as a comedian, for those of you who don't know much about the comedy community, we're a depressed group of people. So it happens more often.
Pathetic losers than one. Is the best way to describe the comedy community.
Thank you. That was really warm and huggy.
That's why I left.
But as a result, everyone's always like, oh my God, you're all so funny all the time. And it's like, no, we're funny when you pay us to be. But because of that, a lot of suicides and overdoses and things like that happen in the community. And that David Hogue reminded me of when somebody would pass and on Facebook, who would be like, I'm so hurt by this happening. And we were such close friends. And I'm like, bitch, he hated you.
Well, but here's the thing. I mean, he was there. You know,
he lost friends. But he capitalized on it.
I have every bit of sympathy for him in this. The problem is, and I have every bit of sympathy. I supported the March for Our Lives. I think all of it was great. I think
absolutely, me too.
I think taking on Laura Ingraham. You know, hey, if you want to shoot back by all means. You know, because if you're going to be in this game, you're going to take some punches, and your ability to fight back is kind of what defines you. Here's where he went too far. Yesterday, he sends out a series of tweets telling people to get rid of their mutual funds and start saying boycott Vanguard. Guess what? 15 minutes? Over. Because the one thing you don't do is go after the people with the money. Because the people with the money...
Are the ones
will
who are gonna,
shut you down.
Yeah, are the ones who are going to ultimately control this situation.
You're talking about people who control everybody's retirement savings. Mm-hmm. So guess what, David Hogg? Nobody's given up their 401k plan or their mutual funds because they happen to hold some Smith & Wesson stock. America has more than made its peace with that. And the people who run those mutual funds, if they see the slightest hint of investors leaving because of your boycott, they will come after you with a fire and fury that you will find unimaginable.
Well, and it's honestly, it's kind of it's a very extreme commentary on the problem with becoming famous when you're too young.
Yeah.
Because the Olsen twins are maybe the only ones that survived. but that's stretching it.
But it's a matter of
they're a month younger than me. And I look at them and I'm like, geez. But it's a matter of you get too much power and you don't know what to do with it because you're not mature enough to know what to do with it. And him doing that is a perfect example of that. Because you don't know who's way more powerful and has been for a while, you're going to piss off.
Yeah. You don't mess with Wall Street.
Nope.
You do not mess with Wall Street. The criticism he's had up until now has been planted by the gun lobby in some really out there right wing channels. Laura Ingraham was about as big of a mainstream source as they ever got. What the financial industry can do to you goes way beyond what the gun lobby can do. So, nice knowing you, Mr. Hogg.
Last on you.
This is my fourth, actually.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Because I've been keeping count. We did Barbara Bush.
I've been keeping count.
Correct? I did Barbara.
I started and I did five.
I did Barbara Bush, Bertucci's, Milos Forman. And that's it. I've done those three. And there's a half a dozen more in here that I could do, but I'm going to give you my fourth. Did I let you double up after one of the calls?
I did one, and then a call came in.
I think I might have let you double up after one of the calls. Art Bell. I'll double up.
Double up. No idea.
Art Bell, the broadcasting legend, Art Bell, the host of Coast to Coast AM, passed away on Friday at the age of 72 from his home high above the desert plains.
Him.
If you found yourself in a car late at night in the late 90s, early 2000s, flipping the channels, you probably came across Art Bell at least once. It was one of the best shows on radio. And it was a secret handshake for a lot of people. If you were an Art Bell listener, there were certain things that you could say or certain topics that you would talk about that would be a tip-off to someone else that you were an Art Bell listener. And once you bonded over that, that was pretty much the only thing that you ever talked about. The great thing about Art Bell had been in radio for years and years and years before he hit on Coast to Coast. And the whole thing about Coast to Coast was it was a show that took all of these UFO conspiracies and Bigfoot sightings and Illuminati and lizard people and all the rest of this stuff and gave it a veneer of credibility. Art Bell never fully accepted anything that was said to him, but he gave everyone a platform and he treated them fairly. Mm-hmm. He didn't prop people up and then throw questions at them to make them look like wackos.
Yeah.
And he treated his callers with respect. And somewhere in the midst of all of this, some actual weird conspiracy things that have probably gone on through the years came to light. And it became a very fascinating show because a lot of us tuned into it just because it was a little bit scary. You know, when you're driving your car at 2 a.m. and somebody's talking about alien abductions, you're a little freaked out. And that's part of the fun of it. But at the same time, you knew that there might be some little grains of truth here and there that were coming out of the whole thing.
Well, I feel it's similar to, I don't know if anyone that's listening or you, Derek, have watched the new show, or not so new, but newish show from Sarah Silverman, where she goes around the country interviewing people about politics. But that's the same sort of idea, is to which is something as I, you know, we all try to, in this profession, we all try to grow and learn all the time. But it's the same idea as being completely objective and being able to just let someone explain their view without being too argumentative, if you will, or even opposing in any way, just listening. And that's the whole point of her new show. And based on the things I've heard about him and even just reading right now, that seems to be what he was about as well.
Yeah.
It's just allowing people to have their opinion regardless of whether he agreed with it or not.
And he damn near sold me one of those Sea Crane radios on numerous occasions.
Well, what's crazy is there's an episode of, this just occurred to me, there's an episode of Modern Family where Mitchell is working with a radio host named Booker Bell, and I'm just realizing, like, he was totally based on him.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yep. So rest in peace, and good luck out there in the cosmos, Art Bell. Last one for you, Shea Spillane. Poop Train. Love this story.
Oh, yes. I know the Poop Train.
The Poop Train.
Oh, my God. You ruined my That's a Thing That Happened.
Okay. No, we'll leave it. We'll leave it. We'll save it for That's a Thing That Happened.
Okay.
And I do have an urgent update. There is an update on the Poop Train story.
Oh, my goodness. I can't
so
wait to hear
we'll
it.
Keep that going. It is WMFO Medford. We were going to talk about the Starbucks thing tonight.
We callers, you're wonderful, but you made us go off the rails.
No, but I mean, we were off the rails anyway. We're going to talk about the Starbucks thing tonight. Here we are. We got 20 minutes until On the Town with Mikey D comes along. We got to do That's the Thing That Happened.
Which is a fantastic show.
And the strangest thing that happened. So let's touch briefly. Let's spend a couple of minutes talking about Starbucks.
Yes.
There's a song that I play every year at this time of year that I have to play. And I think we're good on our PSA requirements, so everything's nice with the FCC.
Don't drink and drive. Use a condom.
Starbucks is going to be shutting down all 8,000 of its restaurants, company-owned restaurants, on May 29th in the afternoon for racial bias training. So no coffee in the afternoon of May 29th. Get in early and stock up.
Luckily, we're in Boston, and every Dunkin' Donuts will still be open.
Because over the weekend, two black men walk into a Starbucks in Philadelphia. Stop me if you've heard this one before. And they sit down at a table, and they ask to use the restroom. And because they haven't bought anything, the manager says, no, that's for customers only. And then asks them to leave, because they're not buying anything. They refuse. So the manager calls the police. The police come in. The police ask the men to leave. And they refuse. They say they're waiting for a friend, that they're there to have a business meeting. And the police ask them several times to leave. The men refuse. And so the police arrest them. And as they are walking them out the door, the friend who they were supposed to meet is walking in the door. Hmm. And he's like, what? Where are they going? Why did this happen? They take them to jail. Starbucks refuses to press charges. All hell breaks loose. There are two parts to this story.
I would say I'm kind of straddling the fence on this one.
There are two, and I suspect that you're probably coming down on it in much the same way that I am. There are two parts to this story. One, and how you view it, may have a bit to do with race, may have a bit to do with your attitude toward the police, your attitude towards Starbucks, big companies, a lot of things. But there are two important elements here. Number one, as I always do when I'm confronting something like this, I look at the zero moment. What is the moment where you cannot turn back and this set of actions is going to move forward? That zero moment is when you tell the police you're not leaving. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's a video online of the commissioner of the Philadelphia police basically explaining everything that happened. I encourage you to watch it. It's up on Facebook. And describing...
Definitely.
What happened...
And it's literally, it's in the most police language. When I say that, I'm not saying that detrimentally to the police. I'm saying it's in the most legal... language you can think of.
This guy's a good cop.
Like a step by step, completely objective. This is what happened.
Yeah. You watch this guy and you're like, this is a good cop. This is why this guy's the chief. And he's black and he sees it through that other lens as well. And he talks about that. But the zero moment is the moment when you say to the police, who have a responsibility, when a business owner has called and said, I want this person removed from my establishment. When you refuse, that's the moment where you're going to get arrested. Now, the other side of it is the people who say, well, the business owner is the zero moment of truth for calling the police. No. The business owner has a right to decide who will and will not be in the establishment. Anyone who spends time in bars knows this, okay? If the bartender says you're gone, you're gone.
Yes.
And you may get bum rushed out of the bar if necessary. The Starbucks doesn't bum rush anybody. Which is nice. You're not getting a bum rush at Starbucks, but they will
call.
They're
all just high on caffeine, not alcohol.
They will call the police to remove them. So the question becomes, is this a racial issue? If there had been two white people sitting there not buying anything, would the manager have called the police? We don't know the answer to that question. So what we're left with is a manager who has people who refuse to leave her store, doing what she's trained to do, call the police. And the police show up, and they still refuse to leave the store. What is lying in back of all of this? The argument that some people want to make is that this is a Rosa Parks moment. They were doing nothing wrong. That is not the case here.
No, that is entirely incorrect, because that, and I am... As I often preface, I'm not trying to say that there aren't inequalities in our society, but I do think that, and that they don't need to be remedied, but I do think that a lot of people lean on that to get away with things, which is, if that was me and one other person waiting for someone for a meeting in Starbucks, and we were sitting there taking up space and not ordering anything, asked to use the bathroom, then refused to leave, they would still probably call the cops on us.
Yeah.
And if anytime I've actually had many business meetings at Starbucks and I get the cheapest thing on the menu just so I have an excuse to sit at that table. In New York City, my trick for when I have to go to the bathroom is to go into a bar, say I'm looking for somebody, and then I'll buy a Diet Coke or something off of them. Like you can't. This has nothing to do with race or racial profiling or unfair practices by a business or anything that anyone's trying to get all up in arms about. This is purely human decency. You can't expect to take up space at what is typically a busy establishment without purchasing something. Especially, you can't expect to use their restrooms, which I work in a restaurant. They spend a lot of time cleaning those periodically. And God knows what anyone is going to do in there.
Well,
you can't expect...
If you've spent any time in a major city, you know that every restroom is patrons only.
Yeah,
because they don't want the homeless coming in. They don't want the junkies coming in. They don't want...
And like I said, you can buy a soda at Starbucks. Yeah, stuff at Starbucks is expensive. You can buy one of those stupid cake pops they have for $1.50 and use the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of buying something. And again, most important point, who goes to a meeting somewhere, waits for someone, and doesn't get something to drink while they sit there and wait? And more importantly, then acts so rudely to not only the proprietor of the place, but the police that then get called on them. It's not a matter, everyone's turning this into like a racial thing or a profiling thing or something. And again, as always, yes, I am white. I can't fully understand what it's like to be a minority, but I can in a way because I'm also a woman. And I also have had a lot of things against me being a female comedian. So I can understand to the point where like, yeah, okay. Sometimes things, you do get dealt a hard deal. But this isn't the case there. A lot of times people try to turn it into the case. I watch other women try to turn it into a case of, oh, they did this to me because I'm a woman. And I'm like, no, they did this to you because you're a jerk. You're acting like one.
They did it to you because it's their company policy. And here's the thing. Yeah. This is not Rosa Parks. This is not sitting in the front of the bus when there is a policy that says you're black, you have to sit in the back. This is not sitting down at the Woolworth's lunch counter where they refuse to serve black people and waiting for the police to come in and pull you out. This is a company policy that says buy something or no bathroom, and you can't just hang around in here without buying something. If you ain't buying, get out of the store. Which is a policy that you will find in pretty much every business everywhere in the United States of America. And it is applied equally to people of all races,
it's an all equal religions. Opportunity offender.
Exactly. You got a bunch of white people sitting around. You know who gets it? Teenage kids.
I would say,
teenage kids.
I've watched this happen to hipsters.
Teenage kids get thrown out of places all the time because they're hanging around, they're not buying anything, and the store owner's like, get out. And it's white teenage kids, by the way. I applaud what Starbucks is doing from a PR perspective, but this is really overkill. This is really overkill. And what the conversation should be is when the police ask you to leave, you do what the police say. Whether you agree with it or not, okay, go post a video on YouTube when you get home talking about how these police were jerks and we were just minding our own business, and go build your social media following. But when the police ask you to do something,
you do it.
It behooves you to do what the police ask you to do.
Especially, when it's something reasonable. That's the thing. If the police are trying to torture you, trying to hurt you, obviously stand your ground. But this wasn't a case of that. This was, you are breaking this company's policy.
You are trespassing,
as a result,
sir.
You are breaking the law.
Yeah.
This isn't any sort of profiling. This is, you're breaking the law. I'm enforcing my duty as a police officer.
Please stop trespassing. 855-915-9636. I have a feeling we'll be talking about this again when the Starbucks big meeting happens in May.
Yep.
Because we didn't get a chance to get to it tonight. And... you know, again, I see an overreaction here. This is what companies do on the PR side of things to try and keep everybody happy. But I don't know that this necessarily does any good. It is WMFO Medford on the Towel, Mikey D, coming your way in just a little over 10 minutes. But before that, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories here from the past week here on WMFO Medford, where, as we do every year, we celebrate our government's careful stewardship of your hard-earned money.
But this song, for the most part, is a true story. In a quiet lab back in old D.C., there's a man who works for an agency in what some would say is a mighty strange career. He takes a bottle of ketchup and pours it out real slow. Then he uses his watch to see how fast it will flow. And the government pays him $70,000 a year. And it sometimes comes out fast, and it sometimes comes out slow. And it helps the time to pass when he listens to the radio. Sometimes when he's really bored, he'll pretend he's Captain Kirk. This is your tax dollars at work. Things were going slow for the space program, so they asked for $250,000 grant to send a sweet potato to outer space. And at Washington University, some professors got a federal subsidy to observe the way that earthworms defecate. And it sometimes comes out fast, and it sometimes comes out slow. And what these guys are trying to find. Heaven only knows. I wonder how we'll benefit from the fruits of this research. This is your tax dollars at work. And we've expended funds to the Pentagon so they could buy a $2,000 John or a coffee pot for the price of a Monet. And Andre Serrano got his start by pissing in a bucket and calling it art and receiving $30,000 from the NEA to subsidize some artsy-fartsy fecal fetish jerk. It's all your tax dollars at work. And for several weeks, Congress went on hold for a filibuster on gun control by the Republicans and some Democrats from the South. Well, instead of paying 20 million bills buying fertilizer for their districts' fields, we should use the stuff that comes out of their mouth. And it sometimes comes out fast. Sometimes comes out slow. And all the while the government payroll is shelling out tons of dough. 'Cause whether it's a two-faced hack or the postman gone berserk, it's all your tax dollars at work. And in Washington they've got limousines while they say they feel our pain. But the mayor doesn't feel anything 'cause he's smoking crack cocaine. I never knew that sex and drugs was a governmental perk. It's all your tax dollars at work. This is your tax dollars at work.
Soul brother number one, always fighting. Now I'm fighting for your life. I'm fighting for your life because if you use drugs, you better leave it alone. Drugs are contagious. They're killers. Every drug is a killer. Stay away from drugs. Drugs will take your life away. And if you want to live, stay away from drugs because they are super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad, super bad.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Chase Blaine. With me, as always, Derek Gary. We're wrapping things up with our closing segments. First of all, what's hot? For me, it's the Women in Comedy Festival. It's a weekend-long festival filled with some of the most talented female comedians and male comedians in the country all over Boston. There are tickets still available. Please look into it at WICF, which is womenincomedyfestival.com.
New research finds, and I chose this specifically as a lead-in to On the Town with Mikey D tonight, new research finds that attending a live concert results in twice the feeling of well-being as doing yoga. So you feel twice as good from going to a concert as you do from doing yoga.
I believe that.
And extends your life expectancy by several years.
So all those Weezer tickets were worth it, is what you're saying.
So some researchers in the United Kingdom found that if you spend 20 minutes at a concert, you get a 21% increase in a feeling of well-being. Yoga only gives you a 10% lift, and you will also have a longer, happier life.
And you'll be way less of a nerd.
Yeah. So go see some live music, and you will make the On the Tell Mike and E people happy. You'll make a local band happy, and you'll live longer.
Legends of Summer represent.
Can't beat it.
WMFO Medford 9.